1140 WRVA.
It takes money, money. Cash money, money. Up to the bill. It takes money, money. That's right. Cash money, money. Up to the B-I-double-L bill.
Sure, you've seen the story here the last day or two about how the $700 billion bailout of financial institutions actually benefited foreign companies, foreign banks, more than our own. And, of course, you know, we live in a day and age where there's a real stimulus mindset that somehow government has to step in to keep these companies from failing, otherwise calamity will ensue. Joining us to discuss it is the author of Blind Vision, that book series, and the founder, and I love the name of this, founder of the Imperfect Messenger Foundation. His name is Curtis Greco. Curtis, have you ever heard of Lake Superior State College?
No.
They do a list every year of words or phrases that are so overused that they need to be banned. I'm guessing right at the top of the list for 2010 will be too big to fail.
Yeah, you know, it's isn't it a great testament to the genius of our of evolving democracy that the best we can do is not plan to succeed, but pretty much look at defending against failure. A very very curious perspective, correct?
Yeah, I think it's certainly a very defensive mindset, isn't it?
No, absolutely. You know, we talk about government by, you know, by and for the people, but you observe Congress through the practices of partisanship, not looking to assert the freedoms and liberty that are integral to the constitutional republic form of government. They actually articulate their interests to defend their positions to perfect and endure the principles of partisan politics, whether it be in the form of stimulus packages or as recently as the Wall Street Reform Act or the election of a life-tenured justice, you know, to the highest court of the land, to the issues of Arizona, for example, on the inability of a government to come together under the focus of what's best for the country and protect and defend the borders of this nation. Instead, yes. Sue one of its own states against the right of self-determination.
I want to talk a little bit with you, Curtis, though, about the whole idea of these stimulus programs, whether they've had any real positive impact or not. I think the federal government would still try to tell us that if they hadn't done what they'd done, that we would be in the midst of a depression. But if you look back at the history of the depression, at the very least, whether you agree with the FDR programs and the things that he instituted, and there's a lot of people who believe that what he did really didn't work either and only made the Great Depression last longer, at least the money, the stimulus program of the day, at least that was used for work progress programs, building dams, building schools, building roads. We were told at the beginning of all this that that's how they wanted to use the money this time around, but we haven't seen it used that way.
No, in fact, it's actually gone to the complete opposite. You know, productive economics requires has a fundamental requirement, and that is that wealth generation creates perpetuates wealth generation. When you look at the dispersals of funds coming out of the stimulus package, which, you know, the public's told $780 billion, when in fact it's closer to $1.3 trillion. None of it is producing measurable results in the most important part of the U.S. economy, and that is productive employment. You know, yes, you can say and point to, you know, road building, et cetera, and localized infrastructure improvements, whether it's out here on the West Coast to rebuild the Bay Bridge or anywhere along or around the United States. But interestingly enough, taking for an example of just how destructive the stimulus package is in these areas, is that, for example, the Bay Bridge in the San Francisco Bay Area, the money that's being spent there is being sent offshore to China, where the steel that's being used to build the new bridge, build and repair the new bridge, is actually coming from China instead of here in the United States. So your point is well taken, is that if the money isn't being spent in creating and developing wealth-creating and wealth-perpetuating ideas and concepts here in the U.S., another example is the fact that instead of developing the idea of spending money on reckless programs such as, and there's been a lot of media out there on some of the more absurd notions and absurd applications of these funds, But you look at the housing market, for example. You have $700 billion alone put into various housing programs, but look what happens the moment they stop providing credits for first-time home buyers or for new home sales. The market collapses. Instead of developing an environment where people are free to pursue wealth creation, and in fact what becomes, as you mentioned earlier in the lead, is that in fact what happens is the government creates interdependence. In other words, everyone sits back and waits to see, well, instead of me going out and doing or being productive, let's wait and see where we can get the government to toss money, whether it's in bailouts to states for firemen, police, teachers, or infrastructure.
Well, there's a lot of people who believe that's all part of a great plan to just make us that much more government dependent. Do you buy into that?
I absolutely agree. I don't think that it's necessarily a measured process. I think it is the natural result of a direction this country has taken away from a common ideal. Years ago, you'll recall Hillary Clinton making a comment about it takes a village, right? It takes a village to accomplish things. Well, I disagree with that. I think that what it takes is not a village of the mindless. I think it requires a convergence of the many upon a common ideal. I mean, if you look back at what was the genesis of the United States itself, was a common ideal, that there was something to pursue. People rallied around the ideal. You don't need an entire, I mean, after all, you look at the history of the United States, it was actually a very small group of people that was the genesis that developed and evolved into that gave us the Declaration of Independence and the secession or the separation from the British Crown. It's going to take leadership. It's going to take a concerted effort of the public to look to not government as the solution, but to enforce against the government, against its own tendencies of tyrannical rule, which is, by the way, also historically the natural trend of all forms of government,
yeah,
and that
yeah.
is to become and expand further and further into yeah. the daily lives of average individuals.
History has repeated itself in that way over and over again. Curtis, good to talk to you. I'm out of time, but thank you.
Hey, thanks for the time, Jimmy. All the best to you.
Take care. You too.